To glow in the dark.
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 This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordia. You can find me on the web at glowinthedarkradio.com or at mikeluoma.com. That's M-I-K-E-L-U-O-M-A. That's how you can find me on Facebook and Twitter, too. Look me up and say hello. Facebook.com/M-I-K-E-L-U-O-M-A and Twitter.com/MikeLuoma. We also have a Facebook page. It's Facebook.com/GlowInTheDarkRadio. We've got Chapter 20 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on the way. Our science fiction ghost story continues. Yes, it is science fiction, and yes, it is a ghost story. Originally wrote this part of this story for an anthology called Hunting Ghosts, because this stuff going on right now is part of the original short story, Alibi Jones and the Ghost in the Machine. Now, the only way you can read that short story now is if you join my mailing list and get the ebook, The Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life. It's my newest anthology. It's a compilation of a whole bunch of things, but it does include that now unavailable Alibi Jones and the Ghost in the Machine short story. Now, because it's part of this novel here now, I haven't really released it on its own. Not since its initial appearance in the Hunting Ghosts anthology. And now that anthology is out of print, so once again, the only way you can get it is by joining my mailing list. And you can do that at glowinthedarkradio.com or the Facebook page. Go to the blog and use the little box on the sidebar. Lots of places. Go to one of my places. Should be easy to sign up. It was a cool challenge to write a science fiction ghost story for a Hunting Ghosts anthology. And at first, when the editor, Buck Weiss, asked me, you know, hey, I'm going to be editing this anthology. I'd love to have you write a short story for it. My first thought was, I write science fiction. I don't write ghost stories. And then it kind of came to me, and then once that story was written, kind of saw how it fit into the larger Alibi Jones story and how it was going to be part of the next novel. And here we are. So it's right smack dab in the middle of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. And by the end of this chapter, you're going to hear the events that are pictured on the cover of the novel, which is also kind of cool. Cover art by Federico Guillen. Good stuff. Federico's done the covers of all those Alibi books. Well, except for the Time War of the Devrisium. That's Mesha, with color by Ken Lettier. If you're listening for the first time, let me set up the story for you a little bit. Alibi Jones and his covert ops team, the crew of the Solar Alliance Interplanetary Force cruiser, disguised as a free trader, A.D. Foster, also the crew of the base, known as the Hornet's Nest. Well, they continue to investigate a seemingly derelict and abandoned ancient alien ship, which has appeared near Solar Alliance space. And rumor has it, it's haunted. Now, in the interest of contacting telepathic aliens, or aliens who communicate by power of thought, the powers that be sent a psychic, a sensitive, Lenora Schwald, along on the mission. So she's been over on that ancient, maybe haunted alien ship, trying to make contact. They've also had devices running which they hope will damper any field the alien ship might be generating so that they are hopefully stopping it from moving away or disappearing. Transpace nullifiers. Those were invented by the project. They stop modern-day ships with transpace drives from jumping. So they're hoping that they're going to function in a similar way here. But Lenora Schwald claimed the nullifiers were giving her a headache and interfering with her communication attempts. So Alibi agreed to turn down the power on the nullifier they have mounted over on the alien vessel. They have one on their own ship on the Foster that they're not going to turn down, but they will turn down the one on the alien ship. And he started to do that last episode, last chapter. Seemed to make a difference. Schwald said she thought she was making contact, finally. But then she started screaming, and then she suddenly stopped. And now there's no answer from her over on that ship. So that's where we're going to pick things up on this episode, this week, on glow-in-the-dark radio. In the news, that exclusive ebook that you get when you join my mailing list, I have one print copy. There is one print copy in existence. It's a one-of-a-kind, and it could be yours. If you join the mailing list, and then go on to review one of my books or podcasts somewhere, and then let me know about it. There are details in my most recent mailing to my mailing list, which you'll get if you sign up. But if you dig what you're hearing, if you've been a fan, you can get a print copy, the only print copy in existence right now, of the Glow-in-the-Dark Radio Guide to Life. There is an ebook sale going on at Smashwords. They have a big July sale. They call it their summer-winter sale because, you know, northern, southern hemisphere. So all of my books are at least 50% off and some are free. That's at smashwords.com, or just follow the link that's in the show notes to go to my Smashwords page, or go to Smashwords and look for Mike Luoma, M-I-K-E-L-U-O-M-A. And finally, in other news, I'm working on a free zone, so it'll be an easy page you can just go to if you want any of the free things I just give away. So that's what's happening in the news. I'm helping my friend Ray let people know about his new Words podcast, Ray Belli, Words for Granted. So we'll hear from Ray, and then we'll get into Chapter 20 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest, next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Hey guys, I'm Ray Belli, the host of Words for Granted, a brand new podcast that looks at how words change over time. Have you ever wondered where words come from or why they mean what they mean? Yeah? Well, me too. In fact, I think about these things all the time, and that's why I've created Words for Granted. It's kind of like an ongoing greatest hits compilation of the most fascinating word evolutions in the English language. Did you know that villain once meant farm worker, or that bead once meant prayer? The bottom line is, if you're a word nerd, let's be friends. You can find out more about the show at wordsforgranted.com and follow Words for Granted on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I hope you tune in to the next show.
Now, here's Chapter 20 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. Lenora! Lenora Schwal, do you hear me? Alibi called again. Nothing. I'm going over there, Alibi said. Kat, you've got the bridge. Emily, you're with me. Great, she said. She shut down her workstation and got up to leave the bridge with Alibi. Alibi and Emily walked quickly through the cruiser. They stopped long enough at the ship's armory for each of them to grab a blaster pistol, and then, armed, made their way through the airlock into the shelter section on board the alien craft. "Looks normal enough in here," Emily said, glancing around the shelter. "Where is she?" "In the ship itself," Alibi said, "in one of the small rooms off the main pressurized chamber." Alibi led Emily through the shelter's external door and into the pressurized part of the alien ship. Everything in the large oval space appeared exactly as Alibi had left it. "Nothing's changed," Alibi said. "Weird." Alibi floated over to the smaller room where Lenora Schwald had decided to meditate. She was sitting in the same lotus position he'd left her in, floating with her back to him. "Lenora!" he tried. No response. Alibi floated around her to see her face. He let out a gasp when he saw Schwald's expression. Oh no! He'd left her in such peace. Now her face was contorted, frozen as if in mid-scream, her mouth agape. Her eyes were open wide, with an unseeing stare. "Is she dead?" Emily asked. "Doesn't matter," Alibi said. He looked into Schwald's blank eyes. "Doesn't look like there's anything left of her in there, even if she is alive. No more there." Emily hunched down next to the woman and pressed her fingers against her neck. "She has a pulse," Emily said. "But it's erratic. And fading." "Let's get her back on the cruiser," Alibi said. He moved around behind Schwald, reached over, and turned her so her back was to him.
He braced himself against the floor and pushed her gently forward. "Humphreys," Alibi called over the comm, "get the stretcher from the aid station and meet us in the shelter section." Alibi pushed Wald a little harder. She floated ahead of him out of the small room in her frozen, floating lotus position.
"What?"
Humphreys came back over the comm, confused. "Cat?" Alibi called back.
"Yes, Alibi."
"Show Humphreys where the stretcher is," Alibi said.
"Yes, Alibi."
Emily floated up alongside, and together they guided Schwald back to the shelter section. Humphreys was waiting with the stretcher. He pushed it out through the airlock door, and the three of them maneuvered Schwald onto it. Alibi turned on the anti-gravity controls on the stretcher, and they eased Schwald through the shelter, the airlock, and on into the cruiser. The three of them guided the floating stretcher to the cruiser's aid station, with Schwald's sitting figure perched atop it. Once in the cruiser's infirmary, they gently opened her arms and legs to fit her into the aid station so the diagnostics and healing systems could take over.
"I don't think she's breathing," Humphreys said, as he, Alibi, and Emily watched the aid station work on Schwald.
The aid station didn't find any brain activity as it tried to revive her. Schwald's autonomic nervous system was shutting down. Bodily functions were ceasing as the control unit, her brain, stopped working. Alibi, Emily, and Humphreys looked on as the aid station continued to try to revive her for another 5 minutes. Then it too stopped. "Subject deceased," the aid station declared.
"Damn,"
Alibi said, his voice breaking. "I..." Emily started, but she paused.
"There's no reason," Humphreys said. "No apparent reason Lenora should be dead."
"Except she is," Alibi said.
"Leave it to the scientist."
"I'm going to my cabin," Emily said. She left the two men at the aid station as she walked out of the infirmary.
"Okay, Doc," Alibi said to Humphreys. "Guess you and I have to take care of the body."
"Alibi!"
Cat called over the comm as Alibi and Humphreys finished laying Schwald's bagged corpse among the other bodies they'd recovered.
"In the cargo hold, Cat," Alibi answered. "What's up?"
"Both nullifiers are operating at full power," Cat said. "But we are once again experiencing a power drain."
"Again?"
"I'll be right there," Alibi said. He and Humphreys closed up the cargo hold and then made their way back up to the bridge. Cat rose from the co-pilot's seat as they entered.
"The power drain is increasing," Cat said. "It is rather minimal right now. Was almost imperceptible at first, but it has become more obvious. At this rate, we will be drained of all power in a week."
The news made Alibi breathe a little easier.
"A week? So we have some time," he said.
"Unless the power drain rate changes and grows logarithmically,"
Cat said.
"Then it could be a matter of days or hours."
"Does it look like it will?" Alibi asked.
"It is too minimal now to measure for that,"
Cat told him.
"I can only get a vague extrapolation based on current readings. That is where the estimate of a week comes from."
"Okay, I've had enough," Alibi said. "Let's get out of here."
Alibi? Emily said, her voice quavering. She stood in the entrance to the bridge, her face ashen. All the blood drained away.
"What the hell?"
"Emily, are you okay?" he asked. "I just saw Mac," she said.
"Mac?"
"Mac," Emily said. "My old boyfriend."
"The bad ex?" Alibi asked, confused.
"Out here? What, he bothering you again? Calling you on the comm? I warned him about..."
"No, not him. The one before him."
"Peter McDonald," Emily said.
"The safe captain?" Alibi asked.
"But I thought, isn't he..." Alibi looked out at the alien ship through the viewport, and then back at Emily.
"He died."
"Yep."
"So how did you just see him?" Alibi asked.
"Watching old footage?"
"Alibi, tell me, do you believe in ghosts?"
"Ghosts?"
As Alibi spoke, a glowing greenish-yellow light filled the bridge of the cruiser. The light coalesced into a blurry figure. The figure began to acquire detail and became a translucent green man in a helmeted safe EVA suit.
"Don't let me die again!" again!
The figure rasped in a rough, mechanical voice. It turned toward Emily, reaching for her.
Please, Emily! Don't let me die again!
That was Chapter 20 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. Well, there's the ghost. And it turns out to be Emily's ex, or maybe it's Emily's ex.
Don't let me die again!
Yeah. It's the cover. We have just reached the point in the novel that is depicted on the cover of the novel. In that great piece of art by Federico Guillén. What I love about working with Federico is we've done comics together. We've done the Good Samaritan stuff. We've done a couple other things. So he understands kind of what I'm looking for when I describe things. Which is awesome, as, you know, you're working with an artist, you want him to be able to see what you see. So I was able to give him this part of this story, the end of this chapter, the beginning of the next chapter that we haven't gotten to, and I said, I'd like to see this pictured, and he just went from there. So yeah, we're kind of in the middle of the stuff that makes up the cover of the novel. So take a look at that again. And that's where we'll pick things up on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio, Chapter 21 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on the way. Remember, you can win a one-of-a-kind book, a print book, if you review one of my books or my podcasts, and you're a member of my mailing list. So be sure to sign up for the mailing list to get all the details. And you can do that at my website, glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. There's an ebook sale going on at Smashwords. Everything there is on sale. All my stuff, that is. All my books are at least 50% off, and some of them are free. I'm going to put a link right up on glowinthedarkradio.com so you can follow it to my Smashwords page to take advantage of that sale. They carry every ebook format, so no matter what you read your ebooks on, you should be able to get the format you need. Also working on a free zone for the website, so that should be coming soon. That's about it for this week. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.